Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Mia, your host, and you're listening to Mind Matters with Mia. This is part two of our mini college series where I talk to college students about how their experiences have affected their mental health. Today, I'll be talking to Adia Fadai, another freshman in college, about how to handle the feelings of not being in control in a time of uncertainty. We also go into her super cool job at a teen crisis hotline and what lessons she's learned from going to therapy. Stay tuned, it's going to be a good one. Yeah, so how have you been?
Hi, I've been doing all right. Definitely having my ups and downs, but it's been okay. I'm starting my new semester for school in a couple days. I've been trying to mentally prepare for that. But
yeah, I feel you. I know. Our break, we start on Monday too, and I'm just like trying to get myself ready to go back to that because break has been so nice.
Yeah.
The first question I always ask is just what is your early experience with mental health slash like what was it kind of like in your childhood?
Right. So in my childhood, I was always a very, very anxious kid to the point where I thought everyone around me thought I was totally normal. We thought that I was just that type of person who was always trying to be an achiever and trying to do everything and thinking 10 years ahead was seen as just a me thing. And obviously we know there's no such thing as normal, but I was also not in a place where I was kind of in the mindset as like everyone else. And I was always very, very anxious. And we never thought that was weird or anything like that at all. And then I think going into middle school, I just started like getting more anxious, and I never really understood what that was still because I never had any psychoeducation and didn't know anything about mental health issues, didn't know anything about mental health at all, except what I'd heard in the media, which is obviously so inaccurate. Mm-hmm. And so I guess with my earliest experience with mental health was just with what I saw like in the media, what I saw in movies, what I heard about from other people, different misconceptions that were kind of propagated by others around me, which is how you learn a lot of things when you're growing up. Mm-hmm. You don't learn the correct information. But then when I first started experiencing mental health issues, I guess that was more magnified in high school.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And you brought up so many good points because I think for a lot of people who have anxiety or other mental health issues or mental illnesses when they're older, you kind of look back and you're like, oh, we always thought like this anxiety was like just like a personality trait. And I feel like I'm the same way, mm-hmm. You know, like you don't really think anything of it until it becomes something more important and bigger when you're older. And then you look back and you see all these signs, I guess, of everything that happened.
Yeah.
It's so true that when you're younger, you kind of see things about mental health and you always see the extremes, you know, like someone
right
has schizophrenia or is severely depressed, but you don't see the middle ground of everyone goes through these normal things. So it's really interesting to see that when you're a kid and you don't really know a lot about it. So I just think in general, kids don't really get enough mental health treatment because people mm-hmm. don't really think it happens to them. And obviously it can be less severe when you're younger, but when you see those things, you have to notice that like that is probably going to become something when you're older.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always like, oh, it's just a phase, mm-hmm. but, and then it's not. And you're kind of like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So now I kind of want to get into the main topic for this interview, I guess, which is college, which is super exciting. I know you just said you're starting your second semester. So just in general, I just want to know, how has it been for you handling this new semester, I mean, new year of college in quarantine that you're not allowed to go back and like navigating your own mental health during all of that?
It's been extremely odd, and just being the type of person who always needs to know what's next, what's going to happen, what are my classes going to look like. I've always been, I guess, a person who just wants to know everything, which is impossible and has so many faults in itself. But going into college, pre-quarantine or whatever, I was super excited. And don't get me wrong, I'm still excited about it, but there was just a different type of excitement where I pictured moving in, getting the dorm experience, going to classes, becoming close with teachers, because I love getting close with my teachers and just hanging out in class. And I guess ever since I've started college in quarantine, I've been learning to be really open-minded, which is very uncomfortable for so many reasons. But I think that this process has just been everything that I thought it wouldn't be and more. And I've been trying to kind of cope with that and navigate that. And here we are. But it's been interesting. And to be honest, I do feel still super grateful to even be in school and even have the opportunity to go to Zoom classes or have the resources that my campus offers, even if it's just very, very different.
Yeah, and I totally relate to you when you're saying that it kind of sounds like you always need to be in control. And I feel like I'm the exact same way, like knowing what's going to happen. And that's why this whole situation has been so hard, because there's so many things we don't know about. And all mm-hmm. that uncertainty is like definitely not good for our mental health. Okay, so you were kind of talking about how this experience is everything that you thought it wouldn't be. So are there any specific things that have surprised you about your own mental health and like how you've gone through stuff or reacted to things during this kind of like different experience?
I feel very surprised just in the fact that I feel that I've been a lot stronger in a sense than I thought I could be. I kind of went into this thinking that I would be very severely impacted and just my mental health would be all over the place, which was kind of true. But also, I've also been realizing that everyone just within themselves has these tools and has the ability to cope and has the ability to just look at things with different perspectives. And that's not like a natural thing at all, but I've realized that there are a lot of things that I can tap into through either through myself or through external resources that can really help in the process. But so I guess, yeah, I've just been surprised at recognizing that we can all be a lot stronger than we think we can be, if that makes sense. Because I just don't give myself enough credit with that. And I'm trying to acknowledge that more and more, and also acknowledge that in others. I've been so blown away just with the fact that we are all going through this, and we're not 100% okay. We're not 100% fine. It's not the best situation at all, but I'm really impressed with how we're able to be really strong, even if being strong means being vulnerable or reaching out during this time.
I really love that, because I think we all went into this with like that fatalist attitude, like everything's going to be bad. And looking back, like you said, it's really important to give ourselves like credit, because we have been doing a lot of things. You know, I think it's very easy to focus on all the bad things that are going on, which mm-hmm. I definitely do that. It's not uncommon, but it's important to look at the other side, because when you look back at all the things that we have gone through, it's pretty cool and impressive, like you said. So I like that you brought that up. I think we never really talk about that enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember you telling me you go to therapy. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. So when did you start therapy, and how has it helped your mental health in general and kind of like specifically about now and in college?
So I started thinking about therapy. That was kind of the first step. I think it was during my sophomore year of high school. Every single day of sophomore year, I would just wake up and I would find it really, really difficult, more than usual, more than the normal, oh, I'm tired and don't want to get up out of bed kind of thing. I would find it really difficult to get up out of bed and just be able to live my everyday life. Everything was just a lot harder than it had ever been. And there wasn't any real trigger or situation or circumstance that kind of made it that way. And I kind of realized, okay, something's going on. It's not really, it wouldn't really be healthy for me to just continue going throughout the days and not reaching out, especially because I also worked at Teen Line, a crisis hotline during that time. And we were learning about mental health and we were learning about things like symptoms of depression. And I was really checking off all of those. And I didn't want to label myself with anything I didn't have or self-diagnose, even though I felt pretty confident that I kind of was leaning towards a certain mental health issue. And that's when I really started thinking about therapy, because it was just hard to go about my everyday life. And then I kind of held off on that a little bit. And then the next year came along, junior year, which is known to be just a hard year in many ways. Not the best year, I'll say that. And during my junior year, I actually, I transferred to a school that's near the city of Thousand Oaks. And the city of Thousand Oaks was affected that year by a shooting. It was at this place called Borderline. A lot of people know of it as Thousand Oaks shooting or Borderline shooting. Mm-hmm. And I knew someone who was there and who had passed. And that was just a really huge event that shaked my world, shaked my community, and my mental health just plummeted. I was unable to go to school for a while, unable to do anything really. And that's when I spoke to my immediate family and talked to them about, okay, let's think about therapy, because I've been holding off on it and it's been kind of back burner until now, but that's something that I would really benefit from. And long story short, even though that was long and it's not long story short, so long story long, I ended up going through another long process of trying to find a therapist. And after I did that, I got to the therapist I have today, Sandy, a queen. We absolutely love Sandy so much. My lifesaver. And so that's been really important even right now, although I don't for right now, it's virtual and we do kind of therapy calls, but having a constant has been really, really important, especially when I'm going not only from high school to college, but going from one normal to another new type of normal. And when everything, and like we were talking about, having a constant, having someone who can be like a rock in my life, has been super helpful and super important to the stability of my mental health.
Yeah, and I'm really, really sorry to hear about your loss. I'm happy you were able to find something after that, like you said, it was like a rock for you and something that was able to, or someone, your therapist, who was always there for you. You were talking about your experience sophomore year and how it was kind of back burner. You knew like you should probably go to therapy, but you know, like I feel like it's kind of a problem worldwide that so many people have mental illnesses and you just don't really know when to get help or you don't know how. I'm happy that you were able to go and find someone that made you feel like you're safe, you know, all those things. The next thing I just wanted to go into was, are there any specific things you've learned that have helped you transition in this college setting?
Yeah, so definitely I've learned the true definition of self-care. That's been my really big thing right now that I'm really focusing on, among other things, but this is a pretty good one for me at least. But just understanding what self-care really looks like. I always saw self-care, especially because it is promoted a lot right now. You see YouTubers making videos of them putting on their face mask, going in a little bath, and having a self-care night, which is incredible. And I hope that like relaxes them, soothes them. And it totally, I know it does the same for me. It soothes me. But a lot of times I will look at self-care even during this time and think, oh, I'll put on a face mask, or let me just do something that's were superficial, which inherently is not wrong at all. And that can be really helpful for certain people at certain times. But I think that sometimes I'll also ignore deeper issues and more root issues when I'm thinking about self-care. And just personally for me, I've been learning to try and dig deeper when I am taking care of myself, whether it's through journaling and trying to tackle more difficult issues, or through doing affirmations, which I never thought would be so difficult. But when you're saying things that, to yourself, that you don't even believe, and repeating them, it's a lot harder than I thought. So that's been a little journey. And I'm not stopping my face mask self-care nights and watching Netflix. I've definitely watched a lot of Netflix and put on a lot of face masks, and I don't even think they work, but it's the experience, it's all that matters. But just trying to think about, what is self-care really, and is this really helping me, not just externally but internally, and supporting my mental health. So that's been something really big. Also just the idea of being more present, especially in college. I didn't realize how fast paced everything would be, because I have this semester system where technically one semester, which I didn't know going into college, otherwise I would have rethought the entire process, but a semester is like a year of high school, I guess, if that makes sense, which I didn't know at all. And everything is just more fast paced. I'm having more classes and more readings, papers, all that fun stuff, and trying to be present is really difficult when I'm constantly thinking of the next assignment or the next class I have to attend, the next project I have to finish. And being present is something that I'm definitely working on in therapy, trying to ground myself and do things up to keep myself present. And another thing that I actually took note of, because it's been really important during this transitional period, especially as a college student, is just rejecting toxic positivity. I think that throughout quarantine, throughout this pandemic, we've been fed a lot of different things from the media, or just like communities or people around us. And everyone's like, don't worry, be happy. And that can be really problematic when you are struggling and when you should be acknowledging the way you feel and when you should be validating yourself, because you can't get help if you're not acknowledging those things and acknowledging that you do need help or any of that stuff. And I think that there is kind of a balance that I'm learning of trying to find the good in things and trying to have that positive mindset in a sense, but also not trying to invalidate myself anytime I have some negative feeling, especially because it's totally normal for anyone right now to be having negative thoughts, negative feelings, and negative experiences.
Totally. All this is so insightful, and it kind of goes along with the next question I was going to ask, which is, what ways are you coping during this, and like, what are you learning? But I love this, because I think, especially going into quarantine, there is this idea of self-care, and it's kind of the superficial things you were talking about, which of course are really great and fun, and they are relaxing and they do help. But like you were saying, there is this level that's going deeper of finding out, I think it goes back to self-awareness, realizing things about yourself, and trying to explore how can I care for myself, because I know I have this specific personality trait, what's going to make myself feel better. And when I go through these mental health struggles, like, what is the root of that issue? And it sounds like all these things that you're doing are really going off of that, and letting yourself just like learn more about yourself and grow as a person with your mental health. So that's so awesome. And I love all those things, and I'm trying to do all those myself too. So that was great.
Ew, thank you. I'm so happy that you're able to do that stuff too right now.
Yes. Okay. So now I'm going to shift to just the one last thing. I know you mentioned this today and before when we were talking, but you were telling me you worked for a crisis hotline. So can you just briefly explain what this is and what you did there?
Yeah, so from the summer going into my sophomore year of high school until the summer after my senior year of high school, I worked at a crisis and suicide hotline called Teen Line, located in Los Angeles. And that's basically a hotline that's for youth and by youth. And what that means is if someone would call the hotline, they would get another person on the hotline who would be serving as a listener who's also a high schooler or just a member of the youth community. And we would take calls, texts, emails, and we would also go to different schools and provide psychoeducational presentations with no cost. And we would kind of do little speaking engagements here and there and events to promote awareness surrounding mental health and suicide prevention. And I first trained, and so the process is you train for a little bit and then you become an observer. So you're able to observe calls, texts, emails, and do a bunch of more trainings. It's like training part two, but they don't call it that. And then you become a listener. So you're able to take calls on the hotline, and calls would be anything from someone who's calling in about bullying to someone who's calling in about eating disorders, sexual assault, someone who's having suicidal ideation, someone who's actively suicidal. It was basically any topic that relates to a crisis or a mental health, we would get calls on that. And then I interned there as well the summer after I graduated high school.
That's awesome. I've always heard about those crisis hotlines and, you know, like the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. And you never really think about who's behind those. And that's awesome that you're able to do that work, and especially this specific one, because it sounds like it's all peer to peer, you know, like when you're on the phone talking to someone your same age. When someone's going through a crisis, it's helpful, you know, and I think people will open up more and feel more comfortable talking about their crises with someone who is the same age. There's that special connection. So that's really awesome.
Yeah, thank you. No, 100%. People definitely do have more of a trust level or are willing to open up more when they're talking to someone who's their age.
Totally. So, are there anything other things you learned from that experience that maybe you apply to your own mental health or just like in general?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly talk about Teen Line almost every day. It's a little bit of a problem, but it just goes to show how much it has taught me. And I think a lot of it has been seeing the importance of having those just educational tools and resources and knowing, okay, what's a misconception of mental health, what's actually true about mental health, and navigating all of that, especially in a time where information is constantly coming at us and there's movies where mental health issues are romanticized, everything from that to people talking about mental health issues, but not truly speaking on them in terms that are, I guess, correct. And it's just really difficult to kind of sift through all the information that's being thrown at us, especially when we are having a little bit of a mental health crisis. But I think that a big thing has been one, just recognizing the importance of really educating myself and trying to help educate peers about mental health, and also the importance of listening to others and just community and reaching out in times when it seems the most difficult. And I've definitely used that in every aspect of my life. Like, I would not even have considered therapy if it wasn't for Teen Line and them through training and through discussing and through just the experiences with them, through them kind of eliminating the stigma surrounding therapy. I would not have even considered such a scary thing. But yeah.
That's awesome. That's so great to hear. Yeah, I just love that. And so the last thing I just wanted to ask, kind of general, but are there any final thoughts or takeaways you would say to anyone going through the same thing, such as like going through college or therapy or any of the mental health things that you talked about today. So yeah, any final takeaways? Because I think we're coming to the end of this interview.
Yeah, I think that specifically for those in college, my main thing would be to really look into campus resources. For example, my college has, there's a certain amount of therapy sessions you can do for free, and there's a counseling center. There are a lot of resources that they provide, and a lot of those resources people may not know about. So I think that for college students, looking into the resources your campus may have is definitely important, because not everyone has access to having a therapist. Not everyone has access to a lot of resources. And I think that looking into those resources specifically could be really helpful. And I think just another general thing is the reminder that we really are not alone, and showing ourselves grace and validating ourselves, even when it can be really easy to be hard on ourselves, is so imperative to our growth and also imperative to just helping others. And I hope that we can all be more kind to ourselves. Maybe that can be a good resolution for 2021, being more kind to ourselves, even though it is so difficult, and I don't want to invalidate that at all, but trying to kind of make sure that we feel that we are okay in however we feel. It's okay to not be okay.
Yes, that's great. And I need that too, being more kind to myself. I think that's a great note to end on. So yes, thank you so much. This was amazing. You have so many great words, and I'm so excited for people to hear this. Hopefully people can relate to what you're going through, or if they're not, just to get some great insight out of this.
Of course. Thank you so much. This was so fun. And I think it's so incredible that you're just doing this, because honestly, starting this so early is literally beyond impressive. Impressive. And I know so many people right now who they're thinking about starting podcasts, or just like their dream is to start a podcast. But I feel like, and I'm not trying to compare it in any way at all, but just the fact that you have started it and that you have taken that initiative and have done that is just so fun. And I'm so excited for what that has to hold for you. And even with the teen advisory board, because you're on that too right now, right?
Yeah.
So, so many fun things. But I will see you. Have an amazing Saturday. I hope you get some self-care time.
You too. Bye.